Good. Good. It's exciting to be part of Ashford, isn't it? Yeah. It's just things like hearing about Cafe 22. And you know, God is using us to be more of an influence and be more of a solution to the problems around. And we're going to see more and more of that. And do you know, God has all the answers, doesn't he? And it's just really exciting to be part of being able to be the solution. And the great thing is, as we open the Word of God, we find the answer to so many of our life's problems today and so many solutions there. And over the last few weeks, we've been doing this series about mind renovation, about resetting our mind, and we've covered quite a few different topics. There's a common thread that's run throughout them all. And we've had some really great teaching. Some really relevant teaching from the Word of God. But the real heart behind doing this series is that we actually take responsibility for that teaching and we do something with it ourselves, that we actually reset our minds to be in line with the Word of God and the life-changing, transforming power that God's Word has in our lives. So we've looked at various things. I'm not going to recap on everything. We've flashed these topics up just to remind ourselves, but we've looked at how easy it is to delegate our mind management and allow other influences to come in. We've looked at how we can focus our thoughts on what's wrong instead of really focusing on what's right and being in a positive place. We've recognised that it is so easy to allow our past mistakes and voices of the past to invade our thinking and to influence our decision-making and to influence the way that we live our lives. We've looked at and challenged ourselves about how we even view our own selves, about how in our minds the kind of things that we say to ourselves and the way that we see ourselves. Paul a few weeks ago gave us a really challenging, really encouraging morning about thinking creatively and how God wants us to be creative in our thinking and not just in a musical dance or that kind of thing, but actually we've all got creativity in us to make a difference. And even thinking about some of the things that we've talked about this morning, Cafe 22, Malawi, and that's there's a lot of creative thinking about how we can be the solution to life's problems. But it's all got to stem, you know, for us to be really strong and really secure in what we do for God, in all of that kind of thing. We've got to make sure that our mind is strong, and there's a lot of battles that go on in our mind, and we need to be in a place where we're strong, and from time to time that means that we need to reset our mind and reset our thinking. So we've covered lots of things, and Chris White started our series for us a few weeks ago, and she was brilliant, and it was it's always great to have visiting people, especially from different cultures, other side of the world, just to bring a different dynamic. If you were around, she told us the story of how when her kids were growing up, in order to help them get their minds focused on the school run, they would say, "This is a great day. This is a marvelous day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it." And that's quite a few people have actually picked up on that. And it's been a good, it was good when she said it, but it's been good to hear that people have actually been doing that, even on their school runs. They've been going through that process and saying that and actually starting to change the way that they start their day by recognizing the Word of God. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And having that positive, allowing that positive influence to invade their lives. And so it's been good to see how God has been, across all the generations, has been beginning to reset minds and change mindsets where they've needed to be reset. So this is the last one this morning. We're going to look at worry. Anybody know about worry? Anybody relate to worry? I was a bit worried about doing this one this morning. I wasn't. There's all sorts of things that that we can relate to with worry, all sorts of small things. Has anybody left the house this morning thinking, oh, did I lock the front door? Yeah, anybody? Don't all go, don't all go. I'm sure it's fine. Don't worry about it. That's one of the things that I sort of pride myself on being really good at remembering, making sure the doors are shut. And I don't know if you're like me, but on holiday, if you're about to go on holiday, and you think, right, I've really got to make doubly sure because I'm not going to be away from the property for a week. Anything could happen. And I'll go round, I'll do the checks, I'll close all the doors in case there's a fire risk, and make sure the windows are shut and all the plugs are out. And I really pride myself on that kind of thing. You know, I'll go back, I'll check because somebody's gone back in for the loo and they might have turned something on. Anyway, how many of you know that pride comes before a fall? 1 week's holiday came back and I thought, that's funny, the key feels a bit different. I hadn't even bothered locking the front door, left it open all week. But we can whittle away about some of the smaller things, you know, in life. You can get to the end of the day and think, oh, you know, did I upset somebody? Did what I say come out wrong? Has that caused an offence or a problem? Is my car all right? I don't know. You know, you hear a funny noise, and you go, "Oh, that's a funny noise." Oh, what's going on? Oh no! And by the time you've done your 5 minute trip to Tesco, you've suddenly worked out how much it would cost to replace the chassis, and if the windscreen's gone, and what's my excess on that, and all that. And then there was an advert years. I don't know if you ever saw that advert years ago. I can't even remember what it was for. I think it was for an oil or something. And there's this guy's car, and he's on this journey. And it starts making a funny noise, and he stops, and it pulls the whole thing apart, and you know, he's got it in the garage and all of that. And it's only when his wife wakes up in the seat that he realises that it's her earring that's been moving. There's nothing wrong with the car at all. But then there's more significant things that can get us worried and anxious. It could be exams that are coming up. It could be decisions about, you know, what's my career going to be, or should I change my career? It could be things like our health and what's going on in our families. It could be down to money. I mean, money and bill paying has such a huge hold over people's lives that it's one of the big things that gets people laying awake in bed at night in a cold sweat, just churning over how to get out of or how to handle or deal with money. It could be things like, we've been praying for the Malawi team this morning. How many of you have got any worries or concerns about your trip to Malawi? Yeah? And, you know, and there's an unknown, you know, we've recognised, you know, that actually we can all get involved with the Malawi trip, can't we? And we're so behind you guys. We're so behind you, and we're praying for you. And we're proud in the good sense that to be sending you guys out with our blessing, and you know, and we've got it covered for you prayer wise. So, you know, and that's great. But you will have a different set of things on your mind than what I've got. I've not got to worry about the food, and I've not got to worry about the midges, and I've not got to worry about all of that. You know, but it's true, isn't it? There's different things that we can worry about. And I just want to say to you guys this morning, if you've got worries, this is for you this morning as well. So what is worry? The definition of worry is the state of being anxious and troubled over actual or potential problems. Being anxious and troubled over actual or potential problems. It actually originates from a word that means to strangle. It's quite a harsh word, isn't it? And it takes that word worry to a whole new level. And actually from that word, we get the meaning to seize by the throat and to tear. Okay, so let's not downplay worry at all. You know, let's not, you know, we're not saying, oh yeah, don't worry, it's, you know, Bob says don't worry, blah, blah, blah. We'll come to that, don't worry. But let's not downplay what worry actually is, because it is significant and it is dangerous, because it is like having your throat seized and torn. In my industry, I'm a sheep farmer, there is an increasing problem with sheep worrying. And that is when dogs will get into the flock and cause a lot of trouble. And you can really understand the meaning and the root of the word worry in this scenario, because when you think of sheep worrying, it probably doesn't sound as serious if you're not too familiar with it than what it actually is. I mean, I've got three dogs, and they bother me at times. They kind of worry me. They fuss. They're useless. In fact, never mind locking the house. If you want to come and burgle my house, my dogs will not behave like guard dogs. What they will do is they will bother you and they'll pester you. You will fall in love with them. And by the time the police arrive, you'll be there happily, blissfully unaware that they're on their way, throwing sticks to them, going like that. They're so nice. It's because they're Christians, you know. They're much nicer. They don't do all this violence. But where was I going? I wasn't going to tell you all that. Sheep worry. Yeah, but what actually happens is that a dog will go into the flock of sheep and it will go for the throat and it will go and it will tear sheep apart. And I could, and I'm not going to, I could show you some horrific pictures that are regularly coming through to highlight that this is a big problem. So worry is significant. And I'm not saying at all this morning that it's, you know, you're not going to downplay it at all, but we need to put it in the right context so that we can set our minds to deal with it properly. Do you know, it's actually a fact that a large proportion of what we do worry about, this thing that gnaws away at us, that tears away at us, that really eats away at us, a large proportion of that is never actually realized. Yeah, I think we're all going, yeah, do you know, that's so true. There's so many times that we've lain awake in bed at night, or we've whittled away at things, and when it's come to it, we've gone, oh, yeah, okay, well, that was a bit of a waste of time, that worry, because it never actually came to anything. And we realize that we've been really troubled and anxious over potential problems, not actual ones. I like this phrase that sums up worry a little bit. Worry is the misuse of imagination. Yeah? Worry is the misuse of imagination. We imagine, or we dream up, or we invent in our minds what is going to happen that simply isn't there. It's not there to happen, and it's not true. But we've got our minds into such a place that it becomes a reality in there when it never was a reality out there in the first place. And that worry, it does, you know, and worry does have that potential to gnaw away at us, to tear us apart, to eat us up inside in our heads. But it also has physical effects. People who have spells of you know, real worry that's really worn them down and worn away at them starts to have physical effects and starts to affect health. I like this phrase as well. Worry is like a rocking chair. There is plenty of motion, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Yeah. When we get in our minds into a mindset of worry, we find that we're taking an awful lot of time, we're doing an awful lot of activity, but we're not actually getting from here to there. We're not actually solving anything or doing anything. So anyway, let's have some good news. What does God say about worry? He says this, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And there's six things I just want us to pull out of that this morning that will just help us to approach worry and to deal with it. So firstly, God has told us not to worry. This has come from God. He's actually commanding us and telling us, actually, don't worry. He's not saying, do you know what, it's really not a good idea if you can worry. If you could try not to, don't do it. He's saying, no, look, don't do it. It's dangerous. It will eat you up. Don't do it. Has anybody ever told you, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. And has anybody ever told you that and you go, yeah, well, that's not really made any difference, has it? It's not made me feel any better at all. But have you ever been with somebody that you know is a real expert or is really competent in something? Or, like, for example, if your sense of direction is, shall we say, a little challenged, and yet you're with somebody who you know has got a very good sense of direction, you will have more confidence when they say to you, look, don't worry, I'll get us out of here, we'll be fine. And it takes that pressure off you, whereas if you're on your own, you might get into a bit of a panic. And this is how it is with the word, with God and with his word. The fact that God has said, don't worry, makes a much bigger difference, because he's coming at this state, true place of authority. Just let that sink in again. Just want you to really get hold of this. God is saying, do not worry. He's not saying it in a glib kind of palming you off way. He is saying this from a position of authority, because he's our creator, because he's our father, our parent, and he understands and he knows what worry is, and he is saying, do not worry. And I just want us to get hold of that this morning and allow that for a start off to just help us as we approach worry. Secondly, and I really love this about the word of God and about the way that Jesus teaches and about the teachings throughout the Bible, is that there is always an alternative. You know, God doesn't say, don't do something and not give us the positive alternative. He is so practical. He knows what we're like. He knows that we need nursing through a lot of things. He knows how to bring the best out of us. And so the word of God, within that, he gives us all the tools that we need. And here's the alternative. Do not worry, but pray about everything. Pray about everything. This is all quite simple, by the way. This is not complicated teaching this morning, but it is incredibly powerful if we get hold of it. Do not worry, but pray about everything. Don't hold back. Whatever is on your mind, whatever is causing you to worry, whatever is causing you to not sleep very well, whatever is causing you anxiety, tell God about it. You might think, well, can I tell God about that? Because it, you know, when I think about it and when I process it, it's really stupid. It's just, you know, but no, tell God everything. There's that saying, isn't there? A problem shared is a problem halved, or something like that. And that's very true, because even in our relationships with each other, when we have an issue or when there's something on our mind and when we speak it out, it actually helps us process it and it helps us put it into a context. But when we tell God about it, when we pour out our heart to God, it's even more significant, because we bring God into our situation and we get and make God involved. Thirdly, tell him what you need. If you tell God what you need and tell him what your problem is or what the issues are, you're actually making him and allowing him to become the author of the solution rather than trying to solve it yourself. Because so often when we whittle away with our worries, what we're trying to do is we are trying to work it out. We are trying to solve the problem. And we are trying to do it in our own strength. Yet when we tell God what we need, we are giving him the space to say, look, this is how it is. And I really need you to do this or that. We have to be careful also, because God might have other ways about how he wants the solution to happen. But if we can't involve him and be in that place of communication with him, then there isn't the space or the opportunity for him to actually step in and do something incredible. Fourthly, thank him for what he has done. If we make it our habit to thank God, no matter how we feel, no matter if our state of worry has got us into a place where we're eaten away, torn up, whatever, if we're in a place of being thankful, and it does really positive things for us. Firstly, it puts God in place of lordship, and it keeps us focused on him and what he is doing. But secondly, it starts to help us to become people who are always looking for the positive. Last year, Esther had a thankful diary. Might have told you about this before, or she might have, I don't know. But she bought a blank diary, and she said, right, for every day of the year, I'm going to write something that I'm thanking God for. So, I mean, she's brilliant like that. I was like, oh, turn the light off. I'm tired. Just go to sleep. I'm thanking God for my bed. Just, that's enough, isn't it? But she's incredible. She said, I didn't really even have enough space in the diary. I should have bought a bigger diary, because actually, when I got to start thinking about it, I had no trouble. And the more it became my habit, the more I could just go, yeah, actually, there's lots of things. Even on, dark days, there's lots of things that I can be thankful for. And so even on the dark days, that balances and pulls you into a good place where you're in a much stronger place because you're being thankful. Being thankful reminds us that actually God is in charge. Fifthly, listed all of those things. Then, when we have done all of that, we will experience God's peace. And that peace exceeds anything that we understand. When we're in a place of worry, what we're really wanting and what we're really seeking is to be in a place of peacefulness over that situation, isn't it? That's what we're really looking for. And this very simply and very straightforward sets out how we can get to that place. One, don't worry. Two, pray about everything. Three, tell God what we need. Four, be thankful for everything. And if we can start to master those things, and when we have, at that point, we will experience God's peace. And that peace will exceed everything that we can understand, which is great, because that also takes a bit of responsibility of having to understand what the problem might be in the first place, because we're putting it in God's hands and we are trusting him, and that peace that comes in enables us to feel and approach life very differently, even if we don't have all the answers and even if we can't explain all the problems away. And when we get into this place of peace, and this is number six, this peace will guard our hearts and our minds. It not only gets us out of worry when we approach worry following these steps, but it will also protect us too. So when the next big thing comes up that causes us to be anxious and troubled and potentially cause us to lie awake at night, bearing in mind, let's not forget what worry is and how dangerous it and big an impact it can have on us, we can actually have a certain amount of protection from that because we've aligned ourselves, our minds, into allowing God's peace to rule and to reign. And that will protect us from getting ourselves into that place. This is all about resetting our minds. Yeah, so it's all good stuff. You know, we're all really encouraged when we look at the Word of God and see how relevant it is. But the challenge is for us to actually make sure that our minds are set to apply it. We don't want to be people who are just hearing God's Word and enjoying it. We want to be people who live it and demonstrate it. And for us in this season, and for people this morning, the challenge is, you know, is our thinking in the right place, or do we have to do some resetting? I know I've shared this period of my life with you before, but a few years ago, I was made redundant from the job I'd done for 12 years, and it was a big deal. It was really tricky. Didn't 100% see it coming. But the problem for us was that our house came with the job. So not only did we get a letter shoved through our door saying, you know, your job's coming to an end, we were actually homeless as well. And there were a lot of issues that threw up for me, because I didn't really have a plan for that scenario happening. That was not part of my thinking. And it completely floored me. And I remember just trying to pray about this thing, thinking, well, I've got a family. We are being kicked out of house. Where are we going to live? What are we going to live on? What's my next career move? What, you know, this is kind of serious stuff. And when I prayed, I mean, I had the most incredible revelation in my prayer time, because when I came to pray, I realized that I didn't really know how to pray. I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know what I was praying for, because my head was all over the place. I was feeling all sorts of negative feelings towards people. I was feeling all sorts of fears about what may or may not happen. I was feeling a sense of confusion, because I couldn't work out in the middle of all of that, God, what actually are you saying? Kind of need to know, but I'm not hearing it. And so when I came to pray, I thought, you know, I'm not even going to try and make this up, because I really don't know what I'm praying for. So I just simply, for that period of time, worshipped God. And as I did it, I thought, you know, I can thank God. I can thank God that I'm in relationship with him. I can thank God that I've got my family around me. I can thank God for the provisions of the past and for the ways that he's maneuvered. And I can thank God for so many things. And what I found, and this was honestly my experience, was that because I was in a place of worship and thankfulness, I actually did feel peace about what the next steps would be. I didn't try and work them out initially. I just went with that. And that made a huge difference, because that gave me the strength to make good decisions, not to react and make poor decisions. It helped keep my attitude in more of the place it should be than where it potentially couldn't be. But I had a choice to make. I could have just allowed myself to worry and whittle and become bitter, or I could be thankful. And I can honestly say that actually being in a place of thankfulness and gratitude towards God changes and changed my outlook to a very difficult period of my life. There's a song that was knocking around a little while ago, and there's a line in it that says, "In your presence, my problems disappear." It's a great song, but that particular line isn't strictly true, because when we pray and when we give God our problems, they don't just disappear. It's not a get rid of them quick, but the spirit behind that line is that the person who wrote that song said, you know what, when I come into your presence, the problems of life, the things that are difficult, the things that pull me down, they all of a sudden become insignificant. And my focus has shifted away from them and onto you. and it's almost as though they don't exist anymore. When we get into that place with the Father, our problems, they don't go away, but they become less like problems. And God helps us find and become the solutions to those problems. Just as we close, and we'll be a few moments, I just want us to sit and just reflect on Matthew 6, where Jesus is talking about worry. And what I want you to do is just close your eyes if that's helpful. But I'm going to read that, because the thing that we need to know is how much value that God places on us. And that really helps us when we're approaching this as well. But I just want you to pray quietly that Holy Spirit will just speak to you as I'm reading this. And that he would just be challenging you a little bit about where you're at, and maybe about specific things that are going on for you at the moment, or whether you've got a mindset that actually naturally goes towards worry. Maybe you would say, oh yeah, I'm a natural worrier. Or maybe you know people who naturally are. I know people like that, and they'll say to me, oh, that's a worry, isn't it? And you go, oh, is it? Perhaps I should be worried. Oh no, what should I be worried about? Great, found it. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more valuable? Are you, sorry, not much more valuable than they? It might be for you this morning that you don't feel like you're as valuable to God as other people or things that are going on around you. And maybe this is for you this morning. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown onto the fire, will he not much more clothe you? God will meet your needs, you know, this morning. God takes great pleasure in creation and creating, and he took great pleasure in creating the grasses and the flowers and all of that kind of thing. But he places more value on you this morning. O you of little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. There was a chap many years ago who said, worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy. Maybe that's your experience today, that you feel that you're being sapped of today's joy because your focus and your mind is being eaten away and torn up with what may or may not happen tomorrow. Do you know, Molly was talking about some of this stuff some time ago. We have some great people in Ashford who, when they speak with such authority, and Molly is one of those. And one of the things that Molly said and which had quite an impact on me at the time, was if you're worried about something, if you say, I'm worried, it's like you're saying, God, I don't trust you over that. Just let that sink in and get hold of that truth. If I'm worried, what I'm actively doing is saying, God, I don't trust you. I don't want to be in that place this morning. And we're going to end with worship. The title this morning was Worry into Worship. And when we're in a place of worship, of thankfulness, of putting our focus on Jesus, then those things that gnaw away and tear away at us, that's the place where those can be put into the place that they deserve to be put. And as we worship this morning, I'm just going to ask prayer team if you'll just come and be available now as well, please. But as we finish our morning and worship, if the Holy Spirit's just challenged you on some things, let's use this time of worship to just to seal that, cement that, deal with that with the Holy Spirit. It's a great place to do that. The prayer team are available, or will be, when they make their way over. If you feel that you need somebody just to pray with about any of the issues and things that that God's challenging you on this morning, or about anything else for that matter, then now's a great time to do that. So let's worship together.